Today's Old Testament reading is from the book of Hosea, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. But the more I called Israel, the further they went from me. They sacrificed to the Baals, and they burned incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck and bent down to feed them. Will they not return to Egypt, and will not Assyria rule over them because they refuse to repent? Swords will flash in their cities, will destroy the bars of their gates, and put an end to their plans. My people are determined to turn from me, even if they call me the Most High. He will by no means exalt them. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Admah? How can I make you like Zeboim? My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I turn and devastate Ephraim. For I am God and not man, the Holy One among you. I will not come in wrath. They will follow the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, his children will come trembling from the west. They will come trembling like birds from Egypt, like doves from Assyria. I will settle them in their homes, declares the Lord. Our epistle reading is from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from our lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self and its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. And today's gospel reading is from the book of Luke, 12th chapter, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. I have only a few short words for you this morning, but I hope that their realization is as meaningful for you as that realization was for me. At the beginning of the third chapter of Colossians, Paul sets out some guidelines for living a life in Christ. Verses 5 to 10 discuss how our conduct as Christians should change. Our earthly nature, with its immorality, impurities, desires, lust, and greed, should be put away. Not just put away, but as Paul wrote, put to death. Those parts of us, the desires, the immoralities, the greed, all need to go. All of those sorts of things that focus so much of our attention, that spend so much of our time, those things are no longer the things that define us. After accepting Christ, those parts of us belong to the past. We are new people, or in Paul's words, we have put on new selves. All of those baser parts of us that divided ourselves from every other living thing are now gone. There simply is no more room for those things when Christ is all and is in all. Through Christ, we are raised to a new life. We are with Christ. It's a common feeling, I think, to feel that Christ is here with us on earth. For a good illustration of this, there is a famous poem which I'm sure most of you have encountered called Footprints in the Sand. If you haven't read it before, or if you don't recall, I'll read that to you now. One night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times of his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, that you would leave me. The Lord replied, "My son, my precious son, I love you and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." A very comforting thought, that thought. Christ is with us, and in our times of greatest needs, he bears us along, carrying us through our greatest tribulations. It becomes somewhat easier then to make the sort of changes in our lives that Paul writes about. If Christ is here with us right now, how could we continue in our rages, our petty angers? How can we still indulge ourselves with slander and malice? If we don't forget that Christ is with us now, setting our minds on the things above is an easier reorientation. Paul says in verse 3, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." What does that mean? That verse caught my attention, and I could not exactly parse its meaning. I had difficulty in actually reading those simply phrased words and getting at their meaning, even though those words are quite direct. I was, like I tend to do, overthinking them. "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." While we are here with Christ on earth, then it also works in the other direction. It means that we are already with Christ in heaven. Right now, we are already part of heaven. Heaven is not our future home. It is our home already. With that point of view in mind, it might not be so hard to focus not on earthly things, but to focus on the things above. It is not hard, then, to put to death the parts of us that belong to our earthly nature. In fact, our earthly nature is already dead. How deep a realization is that? How much easier is it, then, to live a life in Christ? I think it is very much easier, as that transformation has already happened. Amen.